That I'd like to preach on, I'm going to come back to this in Revelation chapter 4. You can stay there, but I'd like to preach on this one verse tonight. 1 Corinthians 10:31, the Bible reads, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." That's what I want to preach on tonight. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Now, can you think of anything more mundane than just eating or drinking? I mean, it's not exactly something that you would put up there as one of your most spiritual activities. I sat down and ate lunch today, or I ate a bowl of cereal this morning, and I'm going to have a cheeseburger tonight after church. That doesn't sound spiritual, does it? But God says, even when you're just eating or drinking, whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. Even the mundane, I mean, whatever you're doing, day in, day out, from the beginning of the day when you wake up to the time you go to bed, your whole life should be about bringing glory to God, according to the Bible. Listen to this, 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Your body and your spirit belong to God. And he said, I paid for it on the cross, what Jesus is saying. And so I want you to honor me and glorify me with every second of every day, because you belong to God, is what he's saying. One more verse, I'll read you an introduction. Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You see, God demands everything from the Christian. Body, soul, spirit, every minute of every day, day in, day out, day, night, morning, noon, night. He expects us to glorify Him with every aspect of who we are. Now, I'm going to give you several areas tonight that we ought to do all to the glory of God when it comes to these areas. If you would, turn to, we'll get back to Revelation 4, but turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Deuteronomy 6, the fifth book in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 6, verse number 4. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy chapter number 4. Or Deuteronomy 6, I'm sorry, verse 4. Deuteronomy 6, 4 reads, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." There is only one God, is what the Bible teaches. Tell that to the Mormons. With all their multiplicity of gods, all their different universes and galaxies, and long, long ago in a galaxy far, far away, and all these different gods are being constantly formed. No, there's one God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, and one Lord Jesus Christ. But look here, he says, "Hear, O Lord, or hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." That's a command of God, to have God's word in your heart. But the first area I want to talk about today, number one, do all to the glory of God when it comes to your conversation, what you talk about. Look down, if you would, at what God expects you to talk about. He said, "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." What? God's word. "And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." He said, when you wake up in the morning, talk about the Bible. When you walk down the road, talk about the Bible. When you're driving in your car, talk about the Bible. Let your conversation be bringing glory to God, especially when you're talking to your children. When you're driving down the road, you got your children in the backseat, talk to them about the Bible. Amen. That's what you got to talk about. What do you talk about at the breakfast table? The Bible. What do you talk about at lunch? Bible. What do you talk about at the dinner table? The Bible. You say, that sounds boring. There's nothing boring about the Bible. Hey, the Bible's exciting. We talk about the Bible all day. I love to talk about the Bible. You see, I don't want my conversation to just be banter, to just be blah, blah, blah. I want to talk about something that matters. I want to talk about God's Word. When I wake up, when I walk down the street, when I sit down, when I eat dinner, when I go to bed at night, it says, "And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gate." He said, take the word of God and just put it up on the wall so you just look at it all the time. So it's constantly in your mind. You notice all the verses that are out there in the lobby of our church? All the scriptures that are up and framed? It's so that we can just walk by and constantly keep our values right. This is what our church is about. These verses define several aspects of what we believe and who we are. You know, same thing in my house. I've got verses in my house. When I was a teenager, I had verses on the wall in my bedroom when I was a teenager. You know, I probably had some rock and roll poster next to it in many cases. You know, I was a worldly teenager. But hey, I had the word. Maybe that's why pretty soon the word of God was right next to the rock. Pretty soon the poster came down and just the word of God was the only thing left. The word of God has a way of doing that to you, okay? But you know, for a while there's both. And one of them had to go. And so all the worldly garbage went. But I'm telling you, from the time I'm a teenager, I read this in the Bible as a teenager. And I said, the Bible is telling me to put God's word on the wall in my house. I said, I just printed it off on the computer. I wrote it down in my best handwriting, and I began to put it on the wall, some of my favorite verses up on the wall, so that I could think about it all day long, talk about it all day long. You know what my wife and I talk about? You want to be a fly on the wall with my wife and I? We talk a lot about the Bible. We do. I mean, you drive down the road with us, hang around us, we spend a lot of time talking about Bible doctrine. We tell stories from the Bible. When I get around my closest friends, you know what we talk about? You'll never live. The Bible is what we talk about. It's what we do. I mean, it's what our whole life revolves around. You see, God doesn't expect us to just on Sunday morning, oh yeah, God. Oh yeah, Jesus. Oh yeah, church. Oh, that's right. Oh, okay, let's go down there and do our... No, I mean, the Bible should be such an integral part of your life all the time. All the time. I mean, why would I talk about sports when I'm talking about the Bible?
Amen.
I mean, think about that for a minute. Talk about somebody throwing a ball around and, you know, sports has its merits, like when you're playing sports, not watching it. You know, I mean, it's, you know, good physical activity. You can learn. It could be educational and learn about teamwork, learn about maneuvers, learn, you know, get your body in shape, build up your tolerance to pain. Hey, great. There's no benefit from sitting around watching sports and talk, blah, 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 blah. You know, the Bears this and the Suns this and blah, blah, blah. Hey, did you hear about this? I don't care. Who cares? Let's talk about the Bible. Let's talk about Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Hey, talk to me about the Bible. You speak my language. When I get together and talk to other preachers, I like to talk about the Bible. I mean, if I go out to lunch with another preacher, I got the Bible. I'm like, let's talk about the Bible. Let's talk about Bible doctrine. Let's talk Bible. That's all I want to talk about. You say, why is it that you like to talk so much about the Bible? Because I find other subjects boring. That's why.
Amen.
That's why. I mean, it's a totally selfish reason. Because sports is boring to me. Because anything else is boring. Except the Bible. I think the Bible is the most exciting thing there is. You know, other things interest me from time to time, and I get off on this kick or that kick. You know, I'm always on one big kick, the Bible. And so, you ought to think about what you spend your time talking about. And especially your kids. I mean, you only have your kids in your house for 18 years. Well, you better make the best of that time. How many parents whose kids are off the deep end, they're trying to straighten them out now that they're adults? What were you? You've already blown it in many cases. I mean, you could have spent those 18 years talking about the Bible. Talking about the Bible. And you know, my kids, whatever happens to them, I'll tell you one thing. When they walk out the door of my house, they're going to know what the Bible says. Talk to them right now. Ask my kids that are 6 and 5 and 3. Don't ask the one-year-old, okay? She won't be able to tell you any answers. But ask my three boys here. Ask them about eternal security. Ask them about heaven. Ask them about hell. Ask them any Bible doctrine you want. You'll be shocked at how much they know about the Bible. Why? Because I talk to them about it. Because I discuss it with them. Because that's what we talk about. That's what our life is about. You know, my kids don't sit down and watch Barney and Friends and Sesame Street and SpongeBob and Bob the Builder and all this garbage. You know what my kids do? They when they want to sit down in their room and play quietly, you know what they do? They flip on a sermon from Faithful Word Baptist Church. Is that true, kids? I mean, I get so sick of hearing my own voice. Sometimes it drives me insane. You know, I walk in my house, I just hear my own voice. You know, it's like, kids, turn that down. Who is that obnoxious guy? And, you know, or we'll send them down to read the Bible. And boy, they learn all kinds of things. They, you know, they're homeschooled, thank God. And so they study, you know, math. They study history. Right now they're learning about North America in the 1600s, and they're studying history. They learn math. They learn English. They learn all these different things. But you know what? The biggest thing and the most important thing they learn is the Bible. A lot of Bible. Memorize the Bible. My wife, talks to them about the Bible, reads to them the Bible. They listen to preaching. And you know what? They love to listen to preaching. I mean, if you ask them right now, Solomon, would you like to watch Barney and Friends or would you like to listen to preaching? All right, good. That's the answer I was looking for. All right, I'll give you a lollipop after service. No, I'm just kidding. But you know, honestly, they love it. They love reading the Bible. I mean, Solomon, sometimes we'll forget to keep track of his daily Bible reading. He's up on it. I mean, he's with it. You know, he's reading through, we're going to read through the New Testament in one year. Okay, all on his own. You know, he's just a little boy, so he's working on the New Testament. I mean, he blew through Matthew, Mark, Luke. He's in the book of John. I mean, that's a lot of reading for a little boy his age. And so thank God for speaking to your kids about the Bible. But not just that. Friends, co-workers, talk about something that matters. Let your conversation bring glory to God all the time. I'm telling you, it'll change your life when you just start talking about the Bible with your spouse. Talking about the Bible with your kids. Just eat, breathe, and sleep the Bible. I love it. But not only your conversation, number two, your music. Look back at Revelation 4 when we started tonight. Revelation chapter 4. So we talked about, we want to bring glory to God in every area of life. And you say, well, Pastor Anderson, when you say every area, what do you mean by that? Well, I'm talking about even eating food. I'm talking about even the glass of water that you drink. That ought to bring glory to God. You say, wait a minute, how in the world can my food and drink bring glory to God? Look, because the Bible says that you should eat for strength in Ecclesiastes. It says you should eat for strength and not for gluttony. Okay, so even when I eat, I'm fueling my body so I can serve God. Even when I drink, I'm fueling my body so that I can serve God, because that's what my life is really about. See, my life's not all about food. You ever meet people whose whole life just revolves around food? Right? I mean, it's just all about food. You know, they just eat, eat, eat. You know, have you ever heard this famous saying, I don't live to eat, I eat to live. It was some Roman orator, Cicero or somebody like that, that said, hey, I don't live to eat, I eat to live. Okay? And that ought to be our philosophy. We ought to eat and drink to bring glory to God. And by the way, what we eat or drink should bring glory to God. Drinking Budweiser is not going to bring glory to God. Drinking Coors and Miller Genuine Draft is not going to bring glory to God. Eating junk food and garbage and filling your face with all the trans fat, hydrogenated garbage, hey, that doesn't bring glory to God. Smoking a cigarette is not going to bring glory to God. You're defiling the temple of God, your body. You see, eating all this junk all the time, and I'm not some health food fanatic, but eating all this junk all the time, or smoking a cigarette, for example, you're damaging. That doesn't bring glory to God. You're damaging your body. But when you eat healthy, nutritious foods, when you eat fruits and vegetables and healthy foods, you're fueling your body so that your mind and your body can work at 100% so you can go out and serve God with your life. So you can think clearly when you read the Bible. So that you can be wide awake and have energy to go out and win souls and preach and be healthy so that you're not laying in bed sick all the time. When you're out there serving God, and obviously, look, sickness happens. I'm not saying somebody's sick, it's their fault. But some sickness is self-induced. You know, let's face it. And so that's why we ought to eat as healthy as we can. Nobody's perfect on this. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God in the last 24 hours in regard to the food or drink that we've had. And I'm not talking about liquor now. But I'm saying, you know, we don't eat perfectly. My health is not exemplary. There are times when I don't sleep right, don't eat right. But I'm going to tell you something. I want to live my life in such a way that glorifies God, where I'm eating food that glorifies God, where I'm healthy, which is going to glorify God, where I'm doing everything with a purpose in mind of saying, I want to serve God with every ounce of strength that I have. I want to be my best. I want to be 100% to do that. But not only that, how about your music? Look at Revelation 4:11. Let's see if our music should glorify God. The Bible says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. For God's pleasure. So who created music? God. So whose pleasure was it created for? God. God created music to bring glory to Himself. That's why He created everything in this whole world. It was for Him, not for you. To just enjoy apart from God. He says, no, it ought to glorify me if you're bought with a price, if you're a Christian. Now, look, if you would, at Psalm 40. Turn into right in the middle of your Bible. You just let it fall right in the middle. You find the book of Psalms. Look at Psalm 40. And while you're turning there, I'll read you a different scripture. The Bible says this: "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord." Listen to this: "Giving thanks always." Now, who knows what always means? It means all the time, constantly. He says, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So, constantly, all the time, we're supposed to be filled with the Spirit, and we're supposed to be speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, but the sentence isn't over there. He says, "Singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord," semicolon, "giving thanks always for all things." All the time, your mouth should be flowing with the praises of God. All the time. Now, I just don't see where that leaves much room for secular music. Right? I don't see where that leaves room for you to listen to all this other music. When God's saying, "I want my music, like psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, to be in your mouth all the time. Always. Constantly singing praises to God." Look down at your Bible, Psalm 40. It says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he had put a new song in my headphones." Is that what it says? "And he had put a new song in my eardrums." He put a new song in my MP3 player. No, it says, "And he had put a new song in my mouth." What are you talking about, David? "Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord." Notice they're not going to hear the music and trust in the Lord. Music is not a tool for evangelism. Okay? He's saying they're going to see me. They're going to see the guy who praises God with his mouth. And that's when they're going to fear and glorify God. You see, when you get saved or when you start living for God, which are not always happening at the same time in people's lives, you know, there ought to be a new song in your mouth. Not the same old junk that everybody else is singing. I mean, if you're singing the same thing that some unbeliever is singing, you don't have a new song in your mouth, do you? I mean, if you're singing the same thing that ungodly, unsaved people are singing, how is that a new song? It's not. Why would I want to sing the same music? You know, I just think about this. Sometimes I'll be on an airplane or something, and there'll just be some flaming queer, you know, on the plane. Just right across the thing. There was this guy, oh man, there was this guy on the plane this week. He was wearing a top hat. What? You know, I mean, the guy's wearing a top hat like this high, like the Mad Hatter or something. Like Abraham Lincoln. A brown top hat with a rainbow ribbon around it, right here around the bottom. Okay? He's wearing a bright purple belt, and he's wearing those purple plastic clogs or whatever they're called. Those weird new sandals. You know, those new sandals. What are they called?
Crocs.
Crocs? Okay. He's wearing these purple Crocs. I hope you know what that means. It's these little sandals. I thought this is a woman's shoe. That's how I classified it. I don't care what color it is. I don't care what. I just looked at it and said, this is a woman's shoe. This is not something that a man wears. Okay. But here this guy's wearing a bright purple Croc. Crocs. This is plural. And he's wearing a bright purple belt. He's wearing a top hat that was like a foot high. I'm not kidding. With this little rainbow, you know, "Hi, I'm a queer," you know, wearing it on his head. And he walks, you know, he takes off his top hat and puts it on the carry-on luggage, you know. And it's funny because during the plane, you know, he's watching the movie that they're spooning us, you know, the Hollywood movie that they play on the plane. He's listening to all the music that they provide for him. I say to myself, why would I want to be listening to the same music as this guy? Why would I want to be watching the same movie he's watching? I mean, if he and I can both enjoy the same movie, I think there's something wrong with me. I think I need to change. Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, if he and I are that much alike where we can watch the same movie, read the same magazine, and listen to the same music, that means he and I have a lot of fellowship. Remember this morning sermon? I don't want to have fellowship with that. Do you understand what I'm saying now? Why does he love it so much if it's so righteous, if it's so ungodly? This flaming queer Tom Lester loves it so much, and that's what he is, by the way. Oh man, I have so many plane stories. I had this. Can I just stop and tell an airplane story? Okay. That was on my way back from Philadelphia. Okay, on my way to Philadelphia, I get on the plane, and usually if somebody sits next to me who I'm questioning their orientation, I just say, like, I need to be reseated. You know what I mean? I don't want to sit next to some flamer, right? And so this guy, but what happened was I'd already been reseated and switched around. I had an appointment. Get this. I had an appointment where I was landing at 5:50 a.m. in Philadelphia. I had to be somewhere in New Jersey at 8 o'clock. I paid a ton of money for the flight. The only reason I was flying there was just to go to this one class, and it was far away. I always get lost when I'm on the East Coast. It's very confusing over there if you ever tried to navigate those streets over there. And so I was just thinking, man, this plane cannot be delayed. I was already kind of on thin ice here. And they're moving things around, so it's too late. The plane's about to take off. This guy stumbles onto the plane, just totally drunk. And I have never seen anybody this drunk on an airplane. And I fly a lot. Usually they don't allow you to fly when you're drunk. You know, it's against the FAA to let people fly when they're drunk. And so this guy was so drunk, and he comes on, you know, and he has pants sagged down like a queer. And he was a big fat guy, you know, big old belly. And his pants were sagged down like a queer, and he was just kind of like pulling up his pants all the time. Just like disgusting. You know, you can see the guy's underwear, it's horrible. And this guy was so drunk, I just smell the beer on his breath, and he stumbles over, you know, and this and that. And I wasn't sure if he was a queer or if he just talked funny because he was drunk. But he was talking weird, okay? And so he sits down next to me on the plane, and the guy is just repulsing me. I mean, he stunk, and he's weird. And the guy starts talking to me. Hey, so what? I just said, whatever. And then he just didn't say, that's all I said, dude, whatever. And he didn't say anything else to me the whole time. And this guy was just repulsive. He's just, oh man, can you pray for me, please? But the point is, look, don't you think that guy just, he likes all the music that they're putting out in the plane. He loves all the movie. Hey, God put a new song in my mouth. That's not my crowd. That's not who I want to be like. And so I sing songs that are totally different. Are you getting this? They're totally new compared to what the world had. I mean, they're totally different than anything the world sings. I mean, when was the last time you saw some kid walking down the street dressed like a gangbanger and you said, hey, let me see what you're listening to. Give me one of your earphones off your iPod. And it's like, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Do you think anybody's listening to that that's not a Christian? I mean, think about it. I mean, can you imagine just blasting that in some trendy store in the mall? To God be the glory, great things he hath. Think about this for a minute. So if somebody gets saved and then they start to sing that music, it's very new to them. But you see, all the Christian rock and roll is not really going to be new to them. Because most of the Christian rock bands get played on the secular station. You know, there are a lot of Christian so-called bands that are played on the regular rock and roll station. You know, Creed, I think he's one of them. What's that one, Flood, or what are they called? Help me out. Is anybody looking good? Nobody knows. Good. We're all sanctified here. But, you know, Amy Grant, she's on the secular stations. Yeah, they're called crossover artists is what they call them, right? Christian groups who really make it big, and they make it in the worldly billboard and everything like that. No, but see, when somebody comes to this church, the music is new to them. If they have not been in church before, if they've not known God before. And so I want to have the new song in my mouth, not the old song. And I don't just want to have it in my eardrum, I want to have it in my mouth. And so I don't spend my time listening to music. Because nowhere in the Bible does it say to listen to music. Show me one place in the Bible where it says, listen to music. Nowhere. So what do I do? I provide my own music. I just believe, this is what I believe. I believe that God would rather hear my voice in all of its imperfection singing from my heart to God, then to hear some professional musician somewhere from a studio in Nashville, Tennessee somewhere coming out of the speakers of my spirit. I just think God would rather just hear it from me, from my mouth, opening my mouth and praising God. Hey, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. And so, I've said it before, this right here is my new stereo system. This is my, hey, does your car have a system? Mine does. I mean, this is my CD player right here. This is my XM radio, okay? This is my HYMN radio right here. I got this in my car. And I try to bring this everywhere I go. And, you know, I know a lot of the songs of this hymnal memorized just from singing so much. all four verses, and singing them with my kids, and we'll drive down the road with all my family, drive down the road, and as a family, we drive the minivan, we sing the hymns. Hey, I think that glorifies God more than anything we could be listening to. Go ahead and buy all your little Christian CDs that are nothing more than a sorry version of what the world has. You know, and look, you don't have talent, people. That's why. Here's a message to all these fundamental Baptists who are putting out their little CDs. You don't have any talent. Everybody's just humoring you to make you feel good. Your CD's garbage, okay? Sorry about that. I said to get that off my chest. But you know what? We don't want to hear all these little, oh man, I'm a star. You know, American Idol Baptist Church, and we have our own little star search for the next talent. Boy, the next big independent Baptist CD sensation. No, I don't care about that stuff. I don't want to listen to music. I want to sing music. I don't want to be a spectator. I want to be a participator. And so we drive down the road as a family, and people of God places with us have heard. You know, we when we go on a long trip, we sing the hymns. In our car, just top of our life, we just sing the hymns. Okay. Oh, that's weird. There's nothing weird about it. Do you come to church and sing the hymns? We sing the hymns in the van as we drive. We sing the hymns around the house. Hey, it brings glory to God. That's our music. You say, well, you don't like music? I love music. Music is a big part of my life. I play the piano. I sing. I love to sing. I'm not going to be cutting any CDs soon, unless you guys think I was a talent. Let me know. Maybe we can work something out. But I'm not making a CD. I'm not going to sell the new song for money. No, I'm just going to sing the new song because I want to praise God and be thankful to God all day long. So remember, what's the sermon about? Doing all to the glory of God. Our conversation. Let's make it about God. Let's make it about the Bible. Let's talk Bible all the time. People these days don't know the Bible. It's because they don't talk about the Bible. I mean, if people talked about the Bible all day long, Christians, and they're constantly, hey, this is what I read in the Bible, honey. Let me tell you about what I was reading this week. If you have that kind of conversation with your spouse, pretty soon you know a lot of Bible. Trading back and forth with your kids about what they're reading, with your spouse about what they're reading. Preachers trading with other preachers. This is what I'm reading. This is what I'm studying the Bible. That's how you're going to know the Bible. But not only that, your music should bring glory to God. It should be the new song. It should be always for all things unto God, giving thanks. But not only that, what about your thoughts and your meditation? Look at Psalm 1. You're in Psalm 40. Just go back to chapter number 1. Not only should our conversation be constantly, just keep coming back to the same subject, the Bible. Not only should our music be God's kind of music, which is us singing to God with our mouth the praises of God, the new song. And you say, well, I don't have a good singing voice. Well, part of that would be changed if you practice more. You know that? I mean, think about it. You may not have a good singing voice because you're just not used to singing. But if you start singing every day, you'll probably get better at singing. You know, some people, you ever know people who just cannot carry a tune in a bucket? I mean, they just cannot. They can't find notes. And to them, it sounds fine. You know, because they don't have an ear for it. But you know, that ear can be trained. And so as you begin to sing throughout the week, you'll get better at singing. But number two, even if you're not good at singing, God still wants to hear you praising Him with your voice. You know, God's the one that made the tongue in your mouth. God's the one that gave you the voice that you have, so He must like it, or else He wouldn't have given it to you. And so, God wants to hear each and every one of us sing. That's why at our church, we never have any special music ever. Did you ever notice that? It's because we don't have enough talent. And so, we're on a constant search for talent to get people up here and wow us and everything. But there's no talent in this church. So what we have to do is just do congregational singing, because that'll mask. It all kind of blends together and nobody can really tell how bad it is. No, we have congregational singing because the Bible says, in the midst of the congregation will I sing praise to thee. And that should be everybody. Speaking to yourselves, teaching and admonishing one another. I believe in congregational singing. There's nothing more boring than to go to church and listen to special music. It's a bore your brains out session, as far as I'm concerned. It's the most boring thing in the world to watch little Susie up there wow us all with her singing. You know what my kids do? I love this. I take my kids to, every once in a while, we'll go to a special like preaching meeting somewhere. And somebody will get up and sing special music. My kids will just start singing along if it's a hymn. If it's one of the hymns, they'll just start singing along. Everybody's like, what are you doing?
We're supposed to be listening to them.
You know, I wish we could start a trend across America. I wish everybody could hear this sermon. We could start a trend. Rebel against special music. Stand up against special music in your church. And here's how you do it. Every time somebody gets up to say, we're going to do a civil disobedience. Then we're going to be like Rosa Parks, okay? Whenever anybody gets up to sing special music, let's just stand up and start singing with them. If they're up there singing, to God be the glory, just be from your seat. To God be the glory. Tell everybody sing. Just turn it into congregational singing. You think this will catch on? Who can this catch on? Just now, the sad thing is, half the song they're singing these new songs, and it's not the new song. It's some hot off the press of Nashville new song. Nobody knows it. So you have a hard time doing your Rosa Parks on that one. But I'm telling you, we should start this, a wave across America. Every time somebody gets up to start, I say we start singing along with them as loud as we can. Drown them out. Let's just turn it. You tired? Who's tired of special music? Let's just drown them out. Let's all start singing. Turn every song into congregational singing. And I'm going to get the words to these new songs and learn them just so that I can do it. Just so that I can sing along to every song. No more special music. Down with special music. Up congregational singing. But look at Psalm 1. The Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's Oprah Winfrey. That's Dr. Phil. That's Dr. Laura. That's all these counselors that are on the internet that tell you how to handle your marriage and how to handle your life and how to handle your finance, how to handle everything. Hey, don't walk in there, the counsel of these ungodly people, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Hey, bringing glory to God with every thought that enters your mind. Day and night, it's just the Bible, Jesus, God's Word, the soul winning, the Holy Spirit, prayer. That's what we ought to be thinking about. That's what a sanctified, holy mind is about. It just eats, breathes, and sleeps the Bible. Look, do you want to hear about some of my personal hobbies? Because everybody should have some hobbies, right? Yeah, you got to blow off a little steam. Let me tell you some of my hobbies. Because I want to, even my hobbies, I want my hobbies to bring glory to God. Right? I mean, whatever I do, eating, drink, I want my hobbies to bring glory to God. Some of my hobbies, I love sightseeing. I mean, I love traveling. I love to look at nature, right? But you know, when I'm looking at nature, I'm thinking about God's creation. That's what I'm thinking about. When I go to the Grand Canyon or through Sedona, or if I go to the lake somewhere, or if I take a drive somewhere through the desert, I love the desert. But if I take a drive anywhere, I'm thinking about this is God's creation. Glory to God. Look at this marvelous creation. Now look, why did God create all these beautiful landscapes across America and across the world? Why did he create the Grand Canyon? Why did he create all the variety of trees? Why did he create the variety of animals and wildlife? Why did he create the forests and the hills and the rocks? He created them for his pleasure, according to Revelation 4, where we read. It was all created for his pleasure. So that means God enjoys his creation, the landscape, the animals. And when I participate in one of my big hobbies, which is, you know, sightseeing and nature and all that, I'm trying to see it the way that God sees it, like this is God's creation. And God enjoys it, and I enjoy it. Okay? That's it. Do you see how I'm taking something that I already liked a long time ago, and I'm incorporating God into it so that he can bring glory to God? Or one of my other great hobbies is geography. I love to study geography. I love to study maps. I mean, I can literally pick up a map and just stare at it for like 4 hours. I'm not kidding. I mean, when I drive down the road, you don't think that's fun? When I drive down the road, I'm just like, now we're here. And I like to look at the map and then see, okay, here we are, you know. I just love maps. I mean, when I drive down the road, I'm just looking at maps for hours, just studying them. And I look at maps and I'm like, man, I'd like to go there and see that. You know, I just love maps. I love geography. But you know what? I'm constantly thinking about how, man, alive, God created this. And then when I'm seeing all these different cities and towns, I'm thinking about soul winning. I think about how long would it take to knock all these doors? Who's going to knock these doors? I mean, literally, I was driving down the road yesterday. I looked at a town and there were all these tract houses. You know, the houses all look the same. They're just lined up for hundreds of them. The thought that I had was, man, who's going to knock all these doors? Aren't there's a good church? I want to see a knock on all these doors. I wonder how long it would take to knock on all these doors. Hey, that's what we ought to be thinking like. It should be about God. It should be about Jesus. And you know, there are other great hobbies. Sports. You know, I'm not against playing sports. I think sports can be a great hobby. Riding dirt bikes, basketball, baseball, football. But you know what? It ought to have a means there that you're strengthening your body. You're strengthening your endurance so that you can go soul winning longer. You know, I mean, it should have something to do with God. Like, man, I want to be healthy so I can live longer and do more for God. Or, you know, I'm gonna take sports and I'm gonna use it as a way to win people to Christ because I'm gonna go out and play sports and I'm gonna try to win my teammates and the opposing team to Christ. After the game, before the game, I want to win people to Christ with my life. You see, everything you do, there should be a purpose. If there's no reason that you're doing it, if there's no purpose, then don't do it. Or you might say, I just want to play some sports to blow off a little steam. You know, I want to go out and play tennis or racquetball or whatever, because I want to blow off a little steam so that I can be rejuvenated, so that I can serve God 100% the rest of the time. You know, nothing wrong with relaxing. Nothing wrong with doing something to blow off a little steam so that you can come back the next day and say, I'm going to read more, I'm going to win souls more, I'm going to preach more. Hey, everything you do should have a reason behind it. It should be the reason that you bring glory to God. Everything. Take an inventory of your life. Step back and look at some of your pastimes and say, does this bring glory to God? Does this thing that I'm drinking bring glory to God? Say, well, I don't think drinking is wrong as long as you do it in moderation. Does it bring glory to God to drink Budweiser? I mean, can anybody really argue this will bring glory to God? This will bring me closer to God. This can help. Look, even if it weren't wrong, which it is, the Bible says wrong to even look at it. But even if it weren't wrong, why would I do something that does nothing to bring me closer to God? All it does is open me up to sin and temptation. The Bible says, thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thy mouth shall utter perverse things. Why in the world would I drink it? No good can come of it. At best, you can argue with me that it's just neutral. I don't want to live neutral. I want to live for God all the time. And I'm not going to drink something that doesn't bring me closer to God at all. In fact, it's drawing me away from God. In fact, it's opening the door to temptation. I don't even want to make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And so I'm not going to drink and put myself in a frame of mind where my inhibitions are gone, where I'm ready to commit sin, where my judgment is the first thing to go. Even the DMV driving handbook from the state of Arizona tells you the first thing that happens when you take the first sip of alcohol is your good judgment goes out the window. That's what it says. It says even if your blood alcohol concentration is zero, that's what it says. One sip. One little drink, and the first thing that happens is you'll feel completely sober, you'll be alert like you're sober, but your decision making will be impaired and you'll make foolish decisions about your driving. But it doesn't stop there. You'll make foolish decisions about what you say, about what you do, about what you look at, about who you look at, about what you're saying. Why in the world would you want to drink something that doesn't bring glory to God? Put it away far from me. I want everything I do to bring glory to God. Think about the stuff on TV. You think it brings glory to God? You think Bob the Builder brings glory to God because he doesn't? You think SpongeBob and these obnoxious, loud-mouth kids programs bring glory to God because they don't? So what's wrong with these kids programs? Well, most of the voices are Hollywood actors. That's one of the biggest problems. You're getting your kids used to the voice of Eddie Murphy, a filthy, foul-mouthed comedian. Disgusting things that come out of his mouth. You're getting your kids used to the voice of Robin Williams. When you let them watch these cartoons, you say, oh, it's a cartoon, it's mild, it's fine. Yeah, but the voice is Justin Timberlake. The voice is Robin Williams. The voice is Eddie Murphy. You're getting your kids used to hearing these voices of Arnold Schwarzenegger and all these filthy actors. And they're going to grow up and they're going to learn to love that voice. And when they hear that voice and see that, they're going to say, that's familiar to me. And then they're going to watch movies that are much more wicked than the cartoons already are wicked. Do you understand what I'm saying now? You're opening them up to the world of Hollywood. What you do ought to bring glory to God. There's no Hollywood movie that brings glory to God. When was the last time you saw a Hollywood movie that just glorified the King James Bible? It just glorified God. And it really just glorified soul winning. And man, it made soul winning look exciting. It made soul winning look good. It made clear that it's all about Jesus and being a Baptist. There's no movie like that. I don't want to watch movies. Do you understand what I'm saying tonight? Stop and think about it. From the time you get up to the time you go to bed, Give it the test. Does this glorify God? Does it bring shame to God? Or is it just neutral? And just get on everything that's on the glorify God side. And start to phase out everything else that you don't need. Say, come on, lighten up. You know, just loosen up a little, man. It's, you know, do you have a life outside the Bible? You know, and people have accused me and other people of just, oh, that's just all you have in your life. You know, it's like, lighten up. You're just, you're boring. You're just, you're obsessed. You know, I don't think I'm a boring person. Am I? I don't think I'm a boring person. But you know what? Everything I do does hopefully revolve around the things of God. And if it doesn't, I need to change. But you know, I have a lot of hobbies. You know, I play piano as a hobby. I think that's fun. But you know what I spend most of my time playing? The hymns of the faith, right? Praising God with my piano playing. Okay, and then, you know, I do my little exercises, you know. But you know, the purpose of it all is to sing and to play on my piano, praise of God. Okay? That's a fun hobby to have. I enjoy playing piano. I enjoy sightseeing. I enjoy traveling. I enjoy some sports I enjoy playing. I enjoy a lot of different things. There's a lot of hobbies you have. I love to study. I love history. You know, I love to read history. But you know why I'm studying history? To bring glory to God. Because I want to understand the world that we live in. Because I want to understand science and math so that I can not go through life being a numbskull. So that I can preach and have knowledge about life and the world. So that I can succeed at my job. So that I can go out and make money. So that I can pay my bills. So that I can pay for my wife and my kids. So I can raise my kids to be preachers and soul winners and love God with their lives. That's why I do all that. That's why I study. You see what I'm saying? There's always a way to take what you do and say, let's make it bring glory to God. Let's do it in a way that'll bring glory to God. Let's revolve our life around the things of God. That's what life is all about. Don't you understand that life's going to be over before you know it? And the only thing that's going to matter is the things that brought glory to God. That's it. Nothing else is going to matter. Any collections that you might have or any knowledge that you have about sporting statistics and all the batting averages, it's not going to matter in eternity. What's going to matter is the souls that you won to Christ. What's going to matter is the Bible that you learned. What's going to matter is the times that you went to church and the times that you sang praises to God and the people that you won to the Lord and the children that you taught to live for God and they taught their children under the third and fourth generation. God can bless your family. But you know what? Go ahead and just spend your days on everything else. Eating whatever you want, drinking whatever you want, going through life. It's all about flopping down in front of the TV, watching sports. When you talk to your kids, just talk to them all about sports. And then sit down and play a video game and do this and that and the other. I'm not going to live like that because I don't want to waste my life. I don't want to waste any of my time. And so I want everything I do to be wrapped up in the things of God. When I want to think the Bible. I remember when I was a teenager feeling guilty because a few days went by and I never even thought on God. You know, this is when I was really worldly and I wasn't really soul winning. This is before I really learned about soul winning and I was reading the Bible just a little bit. And I remember just stopping and thinking to myself in my very worldly condition. I remember just stopping thinking about, you know what? I don't know why this even came to my mind, but I just sat down and thought about it and I said, you know what? The last 3 or 4 days, if I had not been a Christian, I wouldn't have done anything different. You know what I mean? Like, God never even entered my mind for 3 or 4 days. And it's not because I was in wicked sin or anything. I was just being a kid. You know, I mean, I was just getting up, pouring a bowl of cereal, watching a little TV, playing some video games, playing outside with my friends, playing a little ball, go to bed, get up in the morning. And I remember 3 or 4 days went by and I just stopped and thought, wow, that's pretty sad. That for the past 3 or 4 days, I would have done anything differently if I hadn't been a Christian. I would have done the same activities, and the thought of God and Jesus in the Bible never even entered my mind. But you know what? You can see how that could happen. You could probably think of days in your life, same thing, where you just got up, went through your whole day, and God never even entered your mind. You know, and hopefully not. But I, you know, that's what I looked at myself, and I saw that to be the case. And I thought to myself, at that point, I thought to myself, you know what? First thing I should do when I wake up is just acknowledge God in my thoughts. Just say, okay, God is there. Thank you, God, for giving me another day to live. You know, and just giving some kind of acknowledgement to God. Opening the Bible, reading the Bible, thinking about God throughout the... I mean, okay, let me bring it down to the level. Let's say I just went a few days without remembering that I was married to my wife. Think about that. What if I just lived 3 days of my life, and it's not that I was hanging around other women, it's not that I was thinking any thoughts along those lines, but let's say I just got so carried away in my life, you know, just busy in my job, and because I'm out of town sometimes, so, you know, just busy in my job, just working, just doing, and the thought just never even entered my mind that I was married, or I never even thought about my wife, well, I wonder how she's doing, or... Boy, thank God for my wife, and I can't wait until I get home to see her in a few days. And what if I just never even thought about her? And when I got home, I was just pleasantly surprised. Oh, what? Great. That's right. I'm married. Good to see you, honey. Wow, that was a pleasant surprise. Wow, this is really great. Now, how do you think that would make her feel, though, if I told her, you know, honey, I'm so happy to see you right now. I forgot all about you. So this is great. I'm really excited to be home. I forgot all about you the last 3 days. This is going to be great. Let's go out to eat. Let's have a ball. I don't think she would think that was as wonderful as I did. She'd probably think, well, wait a minute. You just don't even think about me for days on end? You just forget that I even exist? Or how would I feel if I walk in the door after being on a business trip, and I waltz in the door, and she's kind of stuck. I do it. I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. You live here. How do you think that would make me feel? If she made all her plans about things that had nothing to do with me, you know, she had it all planned out, didn't involve me. She laid the table for dinner, didn't include me, forgot that I was even coming home. In fact, she didn't thought about me for days. She was just in her routine. Now, that wouldn't make me feel very loved, right? I like to think that if I'm out on business and work, my wife is counting down the minutes, right, honey? And you got like a little, you're tearing off little like hours, like 36 more hours, 35 more hours, 34 more hours. She's peeling off little post-its of how many hours left it is. I would like to think that she's looking forward to, or at least just thinking about, oh, I wonder how my husband's doing, or I wonder how things are going, or, oh, it'll be nice to see him, and maybe pick up the phone and give me a call, or I pick up the phone and give her a call, or some kind of acknowledgement that says, hey, I'm thinking about you. You matter to me today, every day. Think about how much more important God is to me than my wife is. Now, my wife's very important, but, you know, God is more important to me than my wife is. That's the truth. I mean, God is who I have the most love for. And who has the most love for me is God. So my relationship with God is even stronger than the one that I have with my wife. So I would hate to just go days on end without even doing anything different and saying, I'm going to do this because of God. I'm going to think about God. Don't go through life just forgetting about God, and then you stop into God's house and think on God and then go back about your business. It should be daily. David said 7 times a day, will I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. 7 times in the day, David looked up to God and spoke to God. 7 times a day. I mean, we've got to be speaking to God throughout the day. Through song, through prayer, let him speak to us through reading the Bible. Preaching. I mean, literally. I'm to the point where sometimes I'll literally get to the end of the day and be like, did I even read the Bible today? And then I'll think about it, I've read like 18 chapters. I'm not even kidding. I'll get to the end of the day and like, I don't even know if I've read the Bible today. But then I'll think about it, it's like, oh yeah, I read 18 chapters of the Bible. But it's because I'm just, to me, it's like, I read 18 chapters of something, it's like, oh yeah, okay, that's just normal. That's like normal, you know? And so I feel like, did I read a lot? I mean, did I even really read it today? You know, because if I read like 30 chapters, then I'm like, now I read the Bible. Okay, but what I'm saying is, I get to the end of the day, and I have a horror come over me, like, did I not read the Bible today? Have I forgotten to read my Bible? And I did read it. But what I'm trying to say is, reading the Bible once a day sometimes cannot feel like enough. You understand what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, it's like, have I read my Bible today? Because I don't feel like God is speaking to me. Because I read it 12 hours ago, and maybe I read 15 chapters of the Bible, but now it's 12 hours later. It's like, have I even read my Bible today? You understand what I'm saying? And so I need to pick it up and read it again. Okay, so what I'm saying is, reading your Bible daily, yes, but read the Bible throughout the day. Think about God throughout the day. Speak to God throughout the day, 7 times a day. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. Morning and night, he didn't just pray in his head, 3 times a day. he would stop everything, go to his room, open the window, and get on his knees and pray. You understand what I'm saying? This is a major prayer time. Okay. And so, speaking to God and letting God speak to you should be happening throughout the day. Listen to this. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Now, to me, that doesn't sound like just getting up in the morning and just reading the Bible and being done with it the rest of the day. Does it? I mean, just getting up, reading your four chapters or 14 chapters or whatever it is that you read, and just put it aside. Like I said, when I do that, I get to the end of the day and I'm doubting that I've read it. Because I feel like it's something that I need to read throughout the day. You understand what I'm saying? So yeah, it's great to get up and read it, but why not? And I'm not talking about doing anything extreme, although that'd be great, but why not stay in the Bible and just read one psalm just in the middle of the day? I mean, you know what? You ought to get yourself a New Testament, a pocket New Testament. I mean, if you don't have a pocket New Testament, you need to get a pocket New Testament. And I don't know if there's any out there on the shelf, but I got all kinds of junk in my pulpit. You know, it's kind of like my junk heap here. It's kind of like my grandmother had a big red trunk, you know. This is everything in my pulpit. You know, but here, look, here's a New Testament right here. Whoever wants this, put it right there. Just whoever's the first one to get it. Don't trample on each other or anything. And if you're really bold, you get a break out in the middle of the service. Pretty good. Okay. Hey, if you don't have one, come take it. And we'll get some more out on the shelf. I didn't remember to do that. Or go out and buy it at the you know, Bailey My Bookstore yourself. $3 for a little New Testament. But what I'm trying to say is, you take this with you every day. I'm not telling you to radically change everything in your life, although that'd be great in some cases. But think about this. You get on an elevator, right? You just flip this out and just read a couple verses. And then meditate on it. Just think about it. What did I just read? What does it mean? What's God saying? See, this way you're bringing the Bible in your life throughout the day. This way you're bringing your glory to God, your whole work day, turning that screwdriver for God, because you're thinking about God. When you work your hardest, because in your heart you say, I'm working for Jesus. I'm going to work as unto the Lord and not to men. Okay, keep the New Testament in your pocket, pull it out. You know how many times you wait in your life at the post office? There's a half hour of your day shot. At the bank, there goes another 5 minutes. In the elevator, on the job, lunch break, coffee break, whatever, you know, your smoke break, you know. Light up a cigarette and read the Bible. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, hey, look, what I'm saying is get a New Testament and bring it with you. You say, I don't have a New Testament. Write some verses on note cards and bring them with you. Memorize some verses of the Bible. But bring God into every aspect and area of your life is what I'm talking about. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for loving us, dear God, and I